for us. Have a microphone, Sue. I know you want a microphone.
Well, it's a joy to share this on a special occasion with everybody. Thank you. So the reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Thank you so much, Sue. And I'm just going to spend a few minutes reflecting on that passage to help us think a bit more about baptism and what it is and why we do it. And it was a time that was very early in the church. It was a movement that started in Jerusalem and was just beginning to spread to other parts of Palestine and the surrounding areas. And two of the people who were involved in making that happen were Peter and Philip. And the map on the screen shows some of their travels. Peter's journeys are in red, and Philip's are in green. Lots of exciting things were happening. People were being healed of illness. Some were brought back to life after dying. God was at work in amazing and powerful ways. And into that, God speaks, and he speaks to Philip, and he tells him to go out into the desert, specifically on the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. That's the lowest green line on the map. And as Philip went, I wonder if he thought about why on earth did God want him to be there? It was away from where all the action was taking place, where there was excitement, where there were people coming to know Jesus, where people were being healed, where amazing things were happening. It was quiet. Probably very few people around. Why did God want him to be there? But then he sees a man riding in a chariot. So there's probably just this man and his driver. And God told Philip to go and catch up with them. Clearly the reason that Philip had been sent there. And as he meets up with them, he finds that the man is an important official. In today's terms, somebody like a finance minister or a treasury secretary, responsible for the, one of the people responsible for the finances of a nation. And he hears this man reading aloud. And these words that Sue read were words that would have been very familiar to Philip. They were part of the sacred writings of his people, words that he would have heard read and spoken about on many occasions. And this official, this finance minister, clearly wanted to understand what he was reading. And he was struggling to work out whether the author was speaking about himself or someone else. And he had that sense maybe that Philip could help. And so he invited him into his chariot. And they continued down the road together. And this gave Philip the chance to tell him the good news about Jesus. So, who was the writer talking about? These words that the Ethiopian read are found in the first part of our Bibles, in a book called Isaiah. And in that passage, it's speaking about somebody referred to as God's servant, who was going to suffer in many ways, but as he did so, he was going to bring blessing to many people. And Philip had come to realize that the servant that Isaiah was talking about was a person called Jesus. And so he was able to answer this official's question by talking about Jesus. And we don't know what Philip said. They didn't write that down for us. There is no recording of that conversation. But it is probable that he spoke about some of the key aspects of the character of Jesus, some of the significant things that that Jesus did. So it could have included talking about the significance of his birth that we'll be celebrating shortly at Christmas, and how this was God coming into the world as one of us. Philip could have spoken about the powerful words that Jesus spoke about how people should live and how they could have a real relationship with God. Philip could have spoken about the amazing things that Jesus did that demonstrated he was someone special. He calmed a storm with a word. He walked on water. He fed thousands of people with just a few bread rolls and some fish. He healed people. He brought people back to life. Many things that could be said about Jesus. And I am sure that he spoke about some people, particularly the religious authorities, not liking what Jesus was saying and what he stood for, and so deciding to get rid of him. And that this resulted in Jesus being arrested, enduring a mock trial, being condemned to die on a cross, being humiliated and beaten and killed. And he could have explained how this was how Jesus lived out the words of Isaiah as he was taken away in silent suffering to die an unjust death. But this story is described as good news. How is that good news? There must be more to the story. And there is. It was not just the good news that God had come into the world as a human being, the good news that we celebrate at Christmas. It was also the good news that after he had been killed, Jesus was restored to life 3 days later. That he'd been seen by his friends, he spent time with them for a few weeks before finally going back to heaven to be with God. So the good news that Philip was able to talk about was that Jesus had done something significant through his death on the cross, and that this changed everything. And if we look at what was going on the cross, we see that Jesus was offering himself as a sacrifice. And this goes back to the idea that we see in earlier parts of the Bible, that when people messed up, which we do, and the Bible calls sin, they needed to offer a sacrifice, and that often involved killing an animal so that their sin could be forgiven and their relationship with God could be restored. And behind this story is the realization that every single person, apart from Jesus, who has ever lived, has got things wrong. That's all of us here this morning. We've sinned. That's damaged our relationship with God. And the only way this could be put right was if a perfect human being could be found. One who had never sinned and who was willing to offer himself as a sacrifice for the whole world. And this is what Jesus did. And when he did die, he defeated sin and made it possible for every one of us to have a new life, a restored relationship with Jesus. And when he was restored to life, he was demonstrating that he had done what he came to do, that his sacrifice had been accepted by God, that the path back to God was open. And this was the good news that Philip was able to tell. And this is the good news that is still true today. Good news that we can each enter into and experience for ourselves. And this got through to this finance minister, who took on board what Philip was saying and accepted this good news of Jesus for himself. And he wanted to demonstrate that, and to do this through baptism. He says, "Is there anything that would stop me being baptized?" He realized that was the thing to do. Why? Why did he choose this way of showing what was going on in his life? And to answer that question, we can look at some of the words of Jesus after he had died and been restored to life and before he went back to heaven. He called some of his closest followers to him and he gave them a job to do. And he said this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." He was telling them that their job as his followers was to go and tell other people about him so that they could get to know and follow Jesus as well. And the way in which those new followers would show they were part of this Jesus movement was being baptized by being immersed in water. And if we look elsewhere in the Bible, we see there's a lot of symbolism associated with this. When people go down into the water, it speaks about death, the idea of leaving their old lives behind. And when they come back up out of the water, it speaks of the new life they now have in Jesus. It's a powerful symbol of what is going on in people's lives. It's a very visible, it's a very public way of demonstrating that someone has decided to follow Jesus, to commit themselves to him for the rest of their lives. And that is what is going on here this morning. As three people tell us something about why they want to be baptized today, what has brought them to this point, and we then have the privilege of baptizing them. It's a good news story. And this morning we have the opportunity to celebrate that and to rejoice in that with them. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask one by one these three people to come and share something of their stories. And as you can imagine, that's quite a daunting thing to do. So please do think of them. Please do pray for them as they come and share. Father, I want to thank you.